Tomorrow is the Siyum Birkas Hashem, and we're not going to be able to have a regular shiur, so I want to do it now, just for a few minutes. We'll share with you a few short ideas on the parasha. We only have about 15 minutes left, so we'll have to condense it into 20 minutes.
I'll give you my hand.
Tomorrow we're going to have the parasha from the Barbanel, right?
A few ideas on the parasha. We have in this week's parasha the story of the Meraglim. And the Meraglim, and we have in Parashas Kisavoy, the parasha of Bikurim. This is a popular part. I just want to add one little detail to this idea. There's a popular part is that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the mitzvah of Bikurim was to compensate, was to make up for the sin, the chet of the Meraglim. The Meraglim, they came there, they complained about Eretz Yisrael. And they complained by bringing back three different types of fruit. What are the three different types of fruit that they complained? Let me find the pasuk. The vayelchu vayavohu. Let me find the pasuk. Okay, where was it? We says Eretz Mahi. Okay, let me just find the pasuk. Okay, vayavo ad nachal eshkol, vayichusu b'sham zemoira v'yeshkol anav nechat. The first thing is Rashi says they took away a branch, they put a branch of a vineyard, of a vine. And on the vine were a cluster of grapes. Vayisu v'amoit b'sham, two people carried it. Min harimoinim, pomegranates. Umin ha'atenim, and figs. Okay, so therefore they took three things with them back to Eretz Yisrael, back to the Midbar, to demonstrate visual presentation, to show the people in Eretz Yisrael, in the Midbar, that this land is not a normal place. This is the place where the fruits are mega size. It's not something which we're able to deal with. We cannot enter into this land. The Farshim take note that in Parsha Bikurim, exactly these three fruits have the same prominence. In the Parsha Bikurim, we bring from all of the Zayin Minim, not just from these three, but yet in Parshas Kisavo, we deal with the Bikurim. These three fruits appear once again. Let me go to the beginning of the parasha. Come to Eretz Yisrael, the Amarato Vayivienu al Hamokoim Hazeh, Vayitin Lodu Es Eretz Hazos Eretz Zavas Cholov Udevash. The land is a land, and this is part of the praise. When the citizen of Eretz Yisrael, once a year, brings the new fruit, the Bikurim of Eretz Yisrael, you come and you give Shevach V'Odot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you review the history of Klal Yisrael, V'Yanisa V'Yamarta, and you recite the story, and then you come to the conclusion, V'Yivyenu L'Amok Mazeh, and you've given us a Haaretz Hazos, a land that flows with milk and honey. What does it mean, milk and honey? Pasuk Tes, it's Haaretz Hazos, that Zavas Cholov Udvash, I thought I saw it over here, the Rashi. The Dvash is the Dvash of dates. Tatum of Amsadvah, Dvash of Tomorrow of our dates. Of dates. That's dates. And
the milk is from the goats.
And the milk is from the goats, right? The milk is from the goats. So we have over here, wait, give me one moment. How could I forget this? Rashi first says that the sign Bereishis. Let's take a step back. Let's go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Kol pri ho adama. Rashi says Reish v'loy kol Reishis. She'ein kol aperus chayavim bebikurim ela shiva samin b'lvad. Nemar kan eretz v'nemar lahalan eretz chidu soira. Mal halim shiva samin shnistabcha b'meritshol afkan. Okay, then the pasuk goes on to say, Zeis Shemin. Zeis Shemin. Where does it say this in the pasuk? You only chayiv in certain types of fruits. Rashi here says, Zeis Shemin, Zeis Agri, olives, Shemin Agri Besocho, Udvash,
Eretz Zeis Shemin.
Eretz Hashem is not.
Rashi is quoting Dvash Tamarim, and Mereshis is Adam Yer L'soch Sadehu V'roya Te'eno Shebikra.
The last passage by Shlishi is Eretz Yishan
Dvash. Eretz Zavas Cholav Dvash. Zavas Cholav Dvash. It's a language told with Zavas Dvash. That's part of the person's statement. Rashi here, Rashi says dvash tamarim, and it says zay shemen. What does it say zay shemen? It says the word zay shemen. It says it somewhere in the parasha. It says zay shemen. Rashi is quoting zay shemen, which is olives. Okay, olives.
But over here,
le'el shem. Okay, right. Okay, it's going back. Okay. But here it says dvash. And then Rashi says, "Mereshis Adam Yerid L'Soich Sodeyu V'Roya Te'ena Shebikra, a fig which has blossomed. Karech Alecha Gimi, you tie a blade of grass to Simon V'Omer Harezeh Bikurim. This is Bikurim." So Rashi here emphasizes that figs had a very important portion, very important part of the Bikurim, because the figs were used as the sign to determine what was called the Rashis. It mentions over here dvash, which is dates, and we mention also yayin. Where is the yayin? I'm not sure. You know, I don't remember this vart. Okay, but the point is, I don't remember the details. But the best proof is to this idea is where it all comes from. In the parasha of Miraglim, it says v'hayomim yinei bikurei anovim. The days were the days when the grapes were beginning to blossom. So the Mefarshim, it could be it's even the Medrash, it says over here, why did it say the word Bikurei? There are other words the Torah could have used to express that the grapes have begun to blossom. The answer is because it's teaching us over here that instead of giving Shevach for the first fruits of Eretz Yisrael, it was a time now in the year when they came to Eretz Yisrael, when the land was beginning to blossom, and the Meraglim, they used this, they looked at Eretz Yisrael in the wrong way in order to bring back a slanderous report. So therefore, Mida Kineged Mida, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, every time comes a time in the year where it's the Bikurei Anovim, it's the Zman of the year when the fruits begin to blossom, we have to be Misakin, we have to atone for the sins of the Meraglim and take these first fruits and bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbech, and give Shevach V'Hoidot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us such a beautiful land with such beautiful fruit. This is what it says, I believe, in the Medrash. And again, the point over here is from the key words, V'Hayomim, the days where Yimei Bikurei Anovim. The Meraglim chose to use this as an opportunity to slander Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, we compensate with the mitzvah of Bikurim. We take the first fruits, the Bikurim, and we come to Eretz Yisrael to express our Shevach V'Hoidot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us such a beautiful land. Okay, that's what it says in the Medrash. And there are, I don't have clarity, but there are many diyukim in the parashios between what it says in the Meraglim and to what it says in the parash Bikurim, which show there is a parallel. And I just want to add one more point. There is another chazal. It's not a chazal, but it's an idea that is a popular idea, that when we recite the bracha me'ein shalosh, which is either what we call colloquially the al hanichya on either bezonos or the al hagefen, this bracha also corresponds to bikurim. And there are many diyukim, because what is bikurim? Bikurim represents fruit. When we eat bread, we're not really praising Hashem for food, we're praising Hashem for the basic staples of life, for lechem. There's a fundamental difference between lechem and peros. The Birchas Hamazon was primarily composed to give Shevach to Hashem for lechem. Happens to be, when you say Birchas Hamazon, it's a catch-all that includes also praise Hashem for food as well, but the primary focus of the Birchas Hamazon is for lechem. Al Hamichya is a bracha for peros. The one mitzvah of that we focus not on lechem but on peros is the mitzvah of bikurim. You bring the first fruits, the zayin minim, shenishtabach b'meretz Yisrael. You bring them to the Beis Hamikdash and you praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Every time we recite the bracha me'ein shalosh, what we're doing is we're also drawing upon the experience, the event of bikurim. Now I'll give you some examples to emphasize this idea. My father was Zecharon Levech, always to tell me that's the reason why we do not say in the Birchas Al Hamichya a mention of Chanukah and Purim. Why is it that in the Birchas Hamazon we mention Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, and Chanukah and Purim with Al Hanisim? But in the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh we mention Shabbos, Yom Tov, but we'll never mention anything in reference to Purim and Chanukah. So my father's Chon Levech told me, because since the Al Hamichya all is a parallel, it's drawn from Bikurim. What do we know about Bikurim? That once it comes Sukkis, you can bring Bikurim and you can recite the Vidui from Pesach, from Shavuos until Sukkis, Navi Vikoire. You can bring your fruits and you can recite the Vidui. When it comes Sukkis, you could still continue to bring the Bikurim, but there no longer is Vidui. When you come to Chanukah, Einoi Navi Klal. You no longer bring Bikurim, Chanukah, and certainly not Purim. The next time the opportunity to bring Bikurim is the following Shavuos. Shavuos, Uviyam HaBikurim. So therefore, since the bracha, Me'ein Shalosh, is all a reminder, it's drawn from Bikurim, and Bikurim, Chanukah, and Purim is not a Zman of Bikurim. The Haraya, the Mishnah says, Beferish, maybe the Enukore at Chanukah. Chanukah is the cutoff point. The Mela, there is no Haskara of Chanukah and Purim in the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh. Another example that's commonly given is, why is it that in the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh do we mention the Mizbeach? V'al Mizbechecha, V'al Hecholecha. We pray for the restoration of the Mizbeach. How come we don't pray for the restoration of the Mizbeach in the Birchas HaMazon? Why only in the Al HaMichya? The answer is, because since the Bracha of Me'ein Shalosh is drawn from Bikurim, what do you do with the Bikurim? V'inachta lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. Where do you bring Bikurim? Bikurim is brought to the Beis HaMikdash and it's put in front of the Mizbeach, and the Kohen does tenufa. You wave the Bikurim with the Kohen and you leave it in front of the Mizbeach. V'hinachta lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. Therefore, since the entire mitzvah Bikurim is done in front of the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is also positioned right in front of the Heichol, that is why when you recite the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh, you make mention, may Hashem have rachmanus, and restore the real deal. Restore the Mizbeach and restore the Heichol so we can bring Bikurim the way it was meant to be brought. When you recite Birchas HaMazon, which has nothing to do with Bikurim, there's no need to make mention of the Mizbeach and the Heichol. Okay, now I want to add one more point to this. Why is it now what do we take away from this? I present to you two different worlds. There's one world which makes a parallel between the Miraglim, A equals B. There's a parallel between the Miraglim and Bikurim. There are parallels. The Hayamim Yimei Bikurei Anovim. That's one world. Put that aside. There's another world. The Bracha Me'ein Shalosh parallels is also related to Bikurim. Mizbechecha V'al Hecholecha. There's no mention of Chanukah and Purim. A different world. But we have a principle. If A equals B, and B equals C, then A must equal C. If there's a relationship between the Miraglim and Bikurim, and there's a relationship between Bikurim and the Bracha of Me'ein Shalosh, it must then be that there's a relationship between the Miraglim and the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh. We're coming to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch. Every time we make a Bracha of Al HaMichya, what are we really doing? We are revisiting Parsha Shalach. We are reminding ourselves of the terrible tragedy that the Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara on the beautiful land. And now we have to compensate, we have to make it up, and Mimakir, the land is a very good land. And I think for this reason, we have a remiss to this idea that A equals C from the end of the Bracha. The end of the Bracha, there's something very bizarre. When we wind down the Bracha, we conclude Ki Ata Hashem Toiv Umeitiv Lakol V'Node Lecha Al Oretz V'Al HaMichya L'Gegam P'Yagofen Why do we have to say Ki Atoshem Toivu Native Lakol? All we have to say, you have the bracha Amen Achasima, we have already expressed our thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the beginning of the bracha, Al Hamichya, V'Al Hakakola, V'Al Tzurva Sasada, V'Al Eretz Chemda, Toivu Urechava. Why do we emphasize at the end Ki Atoshem Hashem Toivu Native Lakol, a double expression of Toiv? Let it just say, V'Noidel Chala Oretz, V'Al Tzurva Chasima, Shabi Mi'en. We should say the answer is, in the Meraglin there was one good fellow, there were two good fellows of the Meraglin, Yoshua and Kalev. Yoshua fought against the Meraglin, and what did he say to the Meraglin after he finished?
Yeshua didn't say anything.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did Kalev say? What did Kalev say when after the Meraglim issued their slanderous report? I mean,
quote.
Ayas Kalev Sa'am. Wait, give me one second. Let me just find the pasuk. Shashit said with precision. Okay, so what did Yeshua say? No, we're going to show in on the film. Here it is. Vayas kol ves al mayon sho yevo holo nalev narashnu. Hold on one second. Vayomu el kol adam vayoshua benon. Yoshua benon. The cholei ben yifune min hatarim esaretz karu big dehem. Both of them. Both of them, at the very end of the story, Vayoimru el koladas bnei Yisrael emar ha'oretz asho avarnu bo lo sur osa hoivo ha'oretz me'od me'od. It's a very good land. At the end of the story, the bottom line at the end of the story is these powerful words. It's a very good land. Me'od, not just good. It's ma'od ma'od. So I want to say, al derech remes, that is why, now that we know the secret, that the Meraglim corresponds, the Bikurim corresponds to the Meraglim, and the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh corresponds to Bikurim. So that means that the Bracha Me'ein Shalosh is taking us all the way back to the sin, the chet of the Meraglim. The chet of the Meraglim was a lack of appreciation, lack of toivah. Toivo ha'aretz me'od me'od. It's a very good land. To be misaken, the chait, we are putting ourselves in the shoes of Yehoshua the Cholev, and we conclude, Ki Atah Hashem, Tov, you are good. Umeitiv lakol, and you do good to others. You've given us, how have you done good to others? You've given us a land that is tovo ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. This last line here is drawn out from the response of Yehoshua the Cholev. Yehoshua the Cholev are with us every single time we recite the bracha me'ein shalosh. The angels were bringing together three different major concepts: the Meraglim, the Bracha, the Bikurim, and we're praising Eretz Yisrael. That's what we're doing by Bikurim. We're praising Eretz Yisrael, and the praise is to parrot, to imitate, to go in the ways to reenact the statement of Yeshua Kalev with these powerful words. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Almost at the shul. Let me just finish up with one. Let's just finish up, pick one more thing to finish up with. Okay, just something very quick. We start learning Sefer Iyov. Rashi tells us that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem did for them a very great toiva. He caused that Iyov, timing is everything. Iyov died on that very day. The people living in Eretz Yisrael would have been able to spot the Meraglim in a heartbeat. Who knows what they would have done to them. The only reason why the Meraglim were able to succeed and enter the land undetected and return undetected was because the people of the city were preoccupied. What were they preoccupied with? On that day, Iyov died. And when Iyov died, there was a major funeral. And Chazal, in fact, tell us that it was the custom in the ancient times that when a person died, they didn't bury him right away. They would wait until a tzaddik died, a very great person dies, and they would bury the hamoinam would be buried together with the tzaddik. When the tzaddik goes into the Olam HaEmes, he takes with him all of the people with him. Everyone who dies, they wait in the cemetery, and when the tzaddik arrives, everyone is buried together, which means the tzaddik is going to take all the people into Gan Eden together with him. So on that very day, Eiv died. When Eiv died, it says in Chazal, the entire country was busy delivering eulogies for Eiv. And in addition, they were busy burying Eiv. And in addition to burying Eiv, they were busy burying their own dead. Eretz, the people, the Meraglim, they misunderstood what was happening, and they said, Eretz Eicheles Es Yoishvera. It's a land that eats up its inhabitants. We come there the whole day. They're busy with funerals. What kind of land is this? This is not a land that we should enter. They made a big mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did them the favor and caused that Eve to die on that day, so they should be preoccupied, so the people will not be able to detect that the Meraglim have entered and are here to spawn on the land. So I want to say a bit of a drush. It's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a toiva that he died, they should be preoccupied. Maybe we can suggest al derech Jewish that the Meraglim were very well trained. Even if they were not preoccupied, even if the people of Eretz Yisrael of Canaan, they were living there, they were on vacation, and they could have very easily went and detected them. The Meraglim were very well trained; they would not have been detected. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew good and well that the Meraglim came into Eretz Yisrael with an evil intent. They wanted to see the chesroinos of the land. They had no intent of living the midbar. They had a good life in the midbar. They had good parnasa. They had the mon, the clothing. Clothing did not wear out. They had a very good life. They had a good position. They didn't want to lose their position of authority. They did not want to come into Eretz Yisrael at this point in time, and they came to look for trouble in order that they should. They came to look for trouble because they did not want to go through the tircha of coming into Eretz Yisrael. It's not an easy life to establish, to settle Eretz Yisrael. Chazal say that there are three things that are niknes bi yisurin: Torah, Olam Haba. Unfortunately, as we all know too well, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael only comes through Yisurim. The Meraglim knew about this, and they said, we're not interested in the Yisurim, we don't want, we're going to look for trouble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that Eve should die on that day. You want to know why? Because there was no person in the history of the world that suffered Yisurim, difficulties like Eve. And Eve, more or less, we learned Sefer Eve, he persevered. He survived. He was oimei b'nisayo. He was makabel upon himself the yisurim ba'ava. Okay, there were some complaints. Let's not forget. But b'derech klal, Chazal make it very clear. He was a tremendous tzaddik that we cannot even begin to fathom. And it says b'feresh in this Chazal, the day that he died, they were busy delivering eulogies. Hespedim. Don't you think the Meraglim would step into the chapel to listen to the Hespedim? A little bit, a shtickle. When they heard the Hespedim, what did they hear? They heard, look at this person. He was Makabel Yisurim Be'ahava. And now he's going to go to Olam Haba. And he's going to earn the merit. He's going to earn reward in Olam Haba, She'ein L'Shire. And he's going to lead the whole country. All of the dead of the country have been piling up, waiting for a tzaddik like this to die, so he can take his flock with him into Olam HaEmes. Hashem wanted, al derech Jush, the Meraglim to hear the Hespedim. The preoccupation was not, they're preoccupied burying their dead so they can't see that there are spies here. They wouldn't be detected no matter what. Eve died so that the Meraglim should listen to the Hespedim. So when they walk out of the chapel, look, it's sometimes kedai to be makabel yisurim be'ahava, not to be boyet be yisurim. So now we'll kedai to come into Eretz Yisrael with yisurim in order to be kind of the Eretz Yisrael, in order to be Oivdei Hashem the proper way. This was the preoccupation of Eve dying on that day. Pshat is, they're busy, they're not going to find him. But it's deeper. And the Musar Haskel is everything that happens to us in our daily lives, every time that we find ourselves in a certain location and we hear something, we see something, Hashem has arranged that we should be in that makom and that makom and that time in order to learn the lesson. There's a musar, there's a message for us to hear. I also think it's not so far-fetched to say, why is it that Kolev Bedavka, you know, this parsha is a very important parsha, we learn from this parsha the significance of going to be mispalal al kivrei tzadikim. Even more so than he went to the Aris Machpelah. Why do we go to the Aris Machpelah? This speaks parsha. Vayalu at Chevron. When Kolev came into Eretz Yisrael, where did he go? He went to Chevron. He went to the Aris Machpelah to pray at the Kivrei Tzadikim. You see, it was connected. Why did he go to Kivrei Tzadikim? Perhaps I would suggest is the derech drush is that when they heard the Maspid, Eoyv, and they were burying Eoyv, that aroused in Kolev, let's go to our avos. If it aroused a sheifa, if this is the koyach of a mace, it could arouse in the tzibur such a hisorus of tshuva among non-Jews, Knanim, who are going to be eradicated. Alachas kam v'kama, how much we have to focus on our forefathers, the Kivrei Tzadikim, who are no longer with us. So Kolev, it wasn't an accident, a coincidence that Kolev Bedavka came in out to Eretz Yisrael, he now went up to the Kivrei Avos. He came into Eretz Yisrael on the day when there was a Tzadik from the Umos Ha'olam that was Nifter, and the people were being maspit. That triggered an arousement, Zel Umazeh, how much more we have to take pride in our legacy and our Kivrei Avos to go and be mispalled by Avos. It was a hashkoch, and that indeed saved him. Chazal say, Yoshua got the bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. Kolev was saved because he went to Espal Baal Yavos and Yavos. Hashkoch HaPratis. Why did he go? Hashem did him the favor. Entered into Eretz Yisrael on the day when Tzadik died. Tzadik died, look at that. There's something called a Tzadik, a Kivrei Tzadikim. Maybe I should take advantage of my avos. He went to the Kivrei Avos. And that's because he was saved. He was saved, Yeshua was saved. Together, they saved Klal Yisrael to some degree at a later point in time. So nothing, Musa Haskell is nothing happens by coincidence. Have a wonderful day.